How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
If you're looking for more support and guidance, go join the How Not to Suck a Divorce community over on Facebook and our private Patreon channel. Links to both of those in our show notes.
This is the only divorce podcast that's one part family law attorney and one part recovering comedian. We are dedicated to bringing you action steps, empathy, and a healthy side of snark. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Guys, the last thing you want to worry about is your kid's safety when they're with your co-parent.
Agreed. Listeners, we want to help set your family up for success in 2024 with SoberLink.
Okay, so SoberLink is a high-tech breathalyzer system used in situations where alcohol is an issue. SoberLink sends you instant results of a co-parent's alcohol levels. When they test, their identity is automatically confirmed with facial recognition, and tamper sensors ensure that no cheating has occurred. You then get instant proof that your kids are safe in their care.
As a family law attorney, I personally recommend SoberLink to my clients who are dealing with custody and alcohol-related disputes.
So get peace of mind this year. Visit SoberLink.com/notsuck to learn more and get $50 off your device.
Well, it's a beautiful day here in Chicago, the thick of Chicago winters, and I look as beautiful here sitting here with you as the weather is outside. So isn't that a pretty picture?
It's funny because sometimes you're way made up and today you look like you rolled out of bed. But me, I'm feeling pretty good about myself because I am glam in the office, although I feel horrible. You know, it's like one of those days when you get to your job and you're just like, wait a minute, I think I'm sick. And like, now what do I do? Because my day is jammed, but I still look okay, but I feel like, you know, dirt.
Absolute.
So it's like we can like roll our bodies into one and then you would have just like a beautiful being. I am legit sick. So sick. Feel terrible. And I keep telling myself like I've got to shower and get it together. But I keep canceling appointments today because I'm like, I thought you were
going to say canceling your shower.
That too. Well, because the appointment gets canceled and the shower gets pushed off by an hour. And so here I am, you know, I'm so glad that we've not shifted over to a video podcast at this point because we would have no subscribers.
None.
Not a one. If we were on OnlyFans, it would be our only fan. And it would be just one sad person, probably the one listener in Honduras we have, if we still have them, who's like, I guess I'll watch this, but you guys are not really doing anything for me. Speaking of not doing anything for anybody, what we're going to talk about in today's episode is if you are living that life of, I have just been served with divorce. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. This is not what I expected. Oh, shit. We're going to walk you through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's two ways that you can get served with divorce papers, you know, the awful way, the old school way, but it still happens, you know, legally, at least where I am, and probably most other states, is actually somebody comes and hands you the papers and says, you've been served. So that feels awful.
Like a knock at the door, you know, right?
Yeah, or God forbid at your job. Or, you know, those are things that I will do. I'll jump through every hoop possible to try to avoid doing it that way.
And then there's a celebrity recently, Morgan, who was like, I can't think of who it was. There was a celebrity who was served, like she was in a rehearsal, right?
Right. She was like on stage talking about something and some guy came up and pretended like he had a question and gave her papers in front of like 100 people. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, is it a horrible, horrible thing to get served that way? It just feels gross. It's not like in the movies where fireworks go off or they're running after you, et cetera. It's just somebody handing you the paper saying you've been served. A lot of people don't like that. Doesn't start the case out in the best manner. So that's one way. The second way is, maybe there's three ways. The second way is receiving it on email from the attorney. And that's the way that I prefer, with a nice letter that says we're going to keep this amicable. We filed. Go please hire a lawyer. The third way is maybe your spouse hands it to you before you get a letter. So those are the ways that you know, divorce usually starts and you're served with the paperwork. And that leads me into the first thing that I would do. So first of all, how are you feeling when this happens? You're freaking out. It doesn't matter if you knew it was coming, if you didn't know it was coming, if you're completely blindsided. It feels so real.
Yeah. I remember once we talked about this. It was like right when we first started the show. One of us said that it's almost like a gunshot that goes off at the beginning of a race, right? And it's like, boom, now here we go. So what I'm wondering is, I'm sure that for everybody, it just incites panic.
It does.
What's that first step that you would suggest, besides having a panic attack and breathing into a paper bag? What should people be doing?
Yep. So remember, on previous podcasts, we talked about how to best serve somebody, how to best get in front of it. So to kind of set up your case to be as most amicable as possible. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about you've gotten the paperwork. You're freaking out. What do you do? So the first thing you're going to want to do, if you haven't done this, is start interviewing attorney. You don't have to do it that hour. You don't have to do it even that day. Maybe you need to go take a walk, get some, you know, time with a family member or friends just to kind of come down from it. But you need to start setting up appointments to interview attorneys. And Andrea and I always say it, even if the first attorney you think is fabulous, interview more than one, because everyone has a different strategy and your case is not the same as your neighbor's. But that's the first step when you get served with paperwork.
And you know, something that I think a lot of people probably don't realize, because you're not, when you get served, you're probably not thinking, oh, this is great. But there's actually like a hidden benefit line there, because if you've been served, then that means that most likely your spouse has already hired counsel, which means that when you are going and interviewing attorneys to represent you, you've got a leg up, because you can say, my spouse is working with so-and-so. What's your relationship like with so-and-so? And not only that, but you also will have likely already been assigned a judge. So then you could also say to your people you're interviewing, okay, so this is what I know. This is the judge. And if you don't know who the judge is, the attorneys you're interviewing can look that up. Isn't that right, Morgan?
Oh, yes.
So
you make a good point there. So you're going to know who they hired. You're going to know likely who your judge is. And when you get into those interviews with these new potential attorneys, you're going to be able to say, what are we dealing with here on the other side? What are we dealing with here with the judge? What should I be expecting with this? Is there anything in the petition that I was served that is out of the ordinary? So I want to take one step back, because I have, you know, we're kind of in the divorce Super Bowl land of what I always call divorce Super Bowl, which is January, February, post-holidays. We get a lot of new filings, a lot of new cases happening. And I've had this happen so far this year. A lot of people calling, freaking out with the paperwork. And what are they freaking out about? And they're worried because, one, it's legalese in the petition for divorce, meaning, you know, they're not used to this type of filing. This isn't something that they are used to, even this language is foreign.
Right. It sounds very dramatic for someone who doesn't speak that way. I remember this. You're like, and you feel like you're in trouble, even though you're not in trouble.
It makes me laugh, because I remember one client, and this, like, not a lot of people say this, but they were like, Morgan, I've been sued.
Oh, God.
I tried not to laugh because I know how, you know, they're feeling. But there was just such a funny way to put it. So what I'm saying is, you're going to see a lot of things in this petition that are going to freak you out. One, because you don't speak the language, okay? And that's okay. Number two, just know this. A lot of times these petitions, attorneys just kind of throw everything into them. So it's like, you know, they may say, oh, you know, we should have joint custody of the kids, but if we can't figure it out, then I want sole custody. That's, you know, when you talk to a lawyer, that may be something that they say, well, that's pretty standard where we practice. But when you're reading it, you're like, oh my gosh, my ex wants sole custody of my kids. So just know that they throw a lot of stuff in that petition that doesn't mean that that's going to happen. A lot of times it's more just to cover every base to get the actual case started. So just take a deep breath and don't freak as much as you want to, because more times than not, it really isn't that big of an issue with what is in the petition.
So, okay. We're talking to attorneys, and I know one of the things that you always stress with people is after you ask them, like, okay, what's your relationship like with opposing counsel? You know, what's this? What's that? You always mention, Morgan, that they need to offer you a strategy. So yep. What's something that people should be looking for specifically from an attorney? Like, if they're already in this place of, like, even though we don't want them to be panicking, they're panicking. Right.
Right.
And yeah. They're looking at this petition and they're like, I don't know what the fuck this means. And I don't know if this attorney is the right one for me to hire. How do I know?
Right. A hope and a prayer. No, I get it. I get it. What I would say to that is you want to have a strategy for baby steps, because your head is spinning so badly right then at the fact that you've gotten this petition that is actually starting this case that you knew was probably coming. But it still doesn't make it easier that it started. And so the strategy should be, what are we doing in like the next month? What is the plan for the next month? What is expected of me in the next month? And what can I expect that will happen in my case? And so take it with like baby steps, because at the end of this, the meeting, you're probably going to walk out of there and maybe remember 10% of what you talked about.
I think that that's really important to know. I think that a lot of people walk out feeling like it was like, what just happened, you know, because mm-hmm. your brain is swirling. You've got so much yeah. going on. You're still, and then in the back of your mind, you're thinking about, oh God, I got to talk to my kids about this and da, 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 and I can't believe this is actually happening. And it's so hard to focus. One of the things that we recommend is have some like a little notepad or something that you can write down, or use the notes app on your phone. As soon as you get back in the car, write as much as you remember. Write how this attorney made you feel. What are the things that this person said to you that stood out to you, and like your gut feeling on this? Because if you are interviewing more than one, like we suggest, they are going to start to run together. So help yourself through this process of deciding who you want to go with.
I agree. And one of the things that you know, put in the outline today that I think was awesome of you to think of is, what are people, you get served with this petition, or you get the petition, or it's filed, or you've been sued. What exactly do we not want to do at that mm-hmm. point in time? Right? You put that in there. And it's so important, because I probably would have glazed over that. Talk about some things you do not want to do. So the first thing is, I don't want you running to your ex or soon to be ex and freaking out. I don't want you begging them to make a different decision or freaking out or lobbing allegations. I don't want you speaking to the children about it. I want you to basically take this petition, take it internally a little bit, give yourself some hours to digest, maybe take a walk, maybe speak to one friend, maybe speak with one family member. It's not helpful to go out and, you know, put it on social media that you're getting a divorce, or call every friend you know and get 900 different opinions. It's better to digest, keep it calm, et cetera. Because remember, if you go home and lose it, or you lose it over the phone, you know what's going to happen. Your soon-to-be ex is calling that lawyer right away and saying, oh, you know, he or she is really pissed, and here's what's happening. Now you're putting that lawyer on standby to potentially file something in court and make a case not amicable, when we could just keep it amicable if you can kind of hold it in. Does that make sense, Andrea?
It does. But now I'm thinking, okay, I mean, I didn't go through this. I mean, when we filed for divorce, it was like we both knew what was going on. But what would somebody say to their ex if they're caught, or their spouse, if they're caught by surprise? Because you have to talk to this person. You are going to be upset. I mean, where the fuck is the roadmap for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as long as you're keeping it very vanilla, I keep going back to that word, not, you know, instigating, not harassing, not threatening, not lobbing allegations. You can say, I'm hurt. this is very hurtful. I didn't see this coming. Are you sure you want to do this? Those are all things or statements that don't, you know, allege that somebody did something wrong. What you don't want to do is, oh, you think that you are good? Wait till you see what I file. And I'm going to get the kids and I'm going to take you for all you're worth. And you're a drunk and I'm going to tell everybody about it. Those are things that unfortunately I do see happen. And we don't want those things to happen.
Right. So stay away from allegations. Whether you can back them up factually or not, this is not the time. Just hold on to this stuff.
Right. And, you know, I want to make one point with that. Why is that important? Mm-hmm. I had a client recently who could not keep the allegations to themselves and basically gave away our entire strategy with one angry fight.
Right.
And so now they not only does the ex know, but the ex's attorney knows exactly where we're going. And if we would have held it tighter to our vest and not disclosed it, we could have built a stronger case if we needed it.
Right. You showed your cards.
Yep.
Right. So, okay. I'm wondering, and now I'm like thinking off the cuff. Okay. If somebody is served and they're like, I'm emotional. I'm not 100% blindsided. Like, I knew that things weren't great, but I didn't realize that you are done. How do you think we then decide, okay, are we sleeping in the same bed tonight? What are we going to do until we're ready to talk to the kids? I think somebody needs to take charge in that situation because I don't know if, like, the two people can kind of come up with that together. So I'm wondering, and I know it's like impossible to get an appointment like with a therapist last minute, especially if you don't have a therapist. So how do you, like, do you recommend that one person says, here's what I propose we do and kind of come up with a plan for how things should go in the house?
So I think it's really mature if somebody can do that. But a lot of people in this position are unable to do that. So if that's you and you're just like beyond right now, that's okay. I mean, you're not alone. That's a lot of people. If you can step back and say, hey, let's try to figure this out. Here's what I propose. And you think the other side is reasonable and it will work. Great. If you don't think so, then maybe you have to think about your needs first. And what does that look like? So that may look like you sleeping in another bedroom. Again, biggest misstep at this point that you want to avoid is saying anything to the kids, making any, you know, anything awkward in the house worse than it already is, you know, letting them know that something's filed. You just want to leave that out of the situation at this point.
You know, the best part about getting divorced is having the ability to write the next chapter in your life.
Ooh, I love that. And I'll add that I tell my clients all the time that setting yourself up for success in your next chapter is key to living your best life.
Girl, facts. And guys, you know your girls, Andrea and Morgan. We're always going to give you pro tips on how you cannot suck at getting divorced, which brings us to our family wizard.
Friends, hear me on this. Our family wizard is not just for couples going through a high conflict divorce.
No, it's for anyone who wants to be more organized with expenses, kids' activities, calendar requests, and messaging.
We recently co-wrote a special article for Our Family Wizard that gives you tips on how best to communicate with your challenging co-parent and come out on top.
And to get access to this article written just for you listeners, go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck. Yep. And like I said before, like how impossible it is to get in with a therapist last minute. You absolutely do want to consult with somebody before you talk to the kids. Every family is different. Every family dynamic is different. All kids are different. If your kids are already in therapy, then that would be my first line of attack of who you go to. But you want to make sure that you are incredibly thoughtful with how you do broach that topic with children. So, okay, why don't we set people up so their mind is in the right place, Morgan? What are the very first few steps that somebody can expect to happen in a divorce process?
Right. When you get the petition, after you get the petition?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. So first few things, let's just say the first, you know, month of what to expect is one is you're meeting with your lawyer and they're giving you a roadmap or a strategy of your case based upon your own facts. Remember, every bit of facts for every case is completely different than your neighbors and your parents and whoever's. So you're going to get, hopefully, a strategy. The second thing that your lawyer is going to want to do is respond, put together a response to the petition and potentially what we call a counter petition for divorce, your own filing in the court. And they'll explain to you why they may or may not want to do that. And the third thing they're probably going to want to start talking to you about, at least get you working on, is a financial disclosure statement. We've talked about it in other episodes. It's not the most glamorous thing to talk about, but it's really usually necessary in almost every case. And it's better if you just kind of take baby steps on that and start filling it out. And that would be hopefully the first month. Also in the first month, if it's my client, I'm calling opposing counsel and saying, hey, what are we looking at on this case? What is your thought? What are my thoughts? How do we keep the tensions down here? And so hopefully, assuming we did that, I would always report back and say, this is kind of the plan right now to the client so they feel more comfortable.
Okay, so you're saying that a good attorney is going to have a conversation pretty immediately with opposing counsel and say, okay, let's get the lay of the land here. How do we get through this thing with as little blood shed as possible?
Yes. And if they don't mention that in that first meeting, ask them to do it.
Okay.
Ask them to reach out and say, I want to keep this case nice and amicable and the cost down. Can you reach out and get a feel for the other side and what kind of process they're looking at here?
Something else that I think I just want to touch on briefly when we're talking about someone hiring an attorney and getting into the beginning stages of all of this. People are so often focusing on the sticker price of someone's retainer.
Yeah.
Right. And I know we're not doing a whole episode just dedicated to your attorney bills. We probably should at some point. But let's talk a little bit about what the hourly is versus the retainer and how someone bills so that you're not shocked, because you're in that first month, you're going to already get an invoice likely. You might not owe them money, but it's going to show how much has been eaten of that retainer. So why don't we explain the difference?
So first, before you even get in with a lawyer, a good lawyer may be charging a consult fee. Okay. So just know that and don't be shocked by it. And don't not go to the lawyer because one has a consult fee and one doesn't. Okay. Every firm is different, but a lot of high-end firms do charge a consult fee. So that will be 1 hour's worth of their time, generally speaking. Then any divorce lawyer is generally going to take a retainer, which is a lump sum of money that they bill against. So for instance, if the retainer is, on a smaller case, $2,500, then they would bill against that. So if they do an hour's worth of work and their hourly rate is $400 an hour, you will see a bill where they've taken $400 out of the $2,500 retainer. So, and retainers really range all over the map, depending on how complex your case is, depending on the caliber of the law firm. I will tell you personally, we do not take those lower retainers. That's not the type of cases we handle here. Some other places, that may be the perfectly acceptable retainer. So just know that it varies from place to place and firm to firm.
And what's really more important is that, okay, nobody wants to put $10,000 on a credit card. Nobody. But what's more important is you got to look at what the hourly is and what does an hour of work look like? What are we billing for? And does the firm bill on the eighth of an hour, the quarter of an hour? And it's not to say that you want to base your decision off of who's going to bill me for sending an email response that says, got it, thanks. But you do need to be mindful so that you're not completely blindsided by that first invoice. So keep in mind, your attorney is going to bill you for every correspondence. That's just how this thing works. So you also need to know in the beginning, you are going to have a lot of questions. Advice from somebody who went through it. If you can think of all the questions you have and put it in one email, and be as concise as possible and do not involve your attorney in the drama of what's going on with your ex, you're going to save some money. I know it's fun to say And then that bitch did this, 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 and this. But guys, you're actually paying for your attorney to read the dribble drabble that they can't do anything about. And then you're paying for them to send you an email that says, unfortunately, this is all part of it. Da, 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 da. So know that for what it's worth. Anything else to add on that front, Morgan? I'm looking at you and I'm imagining how many of these emails you get in a day that you're like, oh God, people.
Yeah, tons of emails, you know, but remember that time is money, and also don't fault your lawyer for billing something because that's what they're paid to do. And so if they're the rule of thumb is if they're thinking about your case, if they're doing something on your case, if your case is taking them away from somebody else's case, you're going to be billed on that. So agreed. Try to keep it all succinct. We've had different podcasts on how to do that that we've talked about. So yes, that would be one of the first steps to think about.
Let's talk about how you take care of yourself, because you know now that you're going to go through some stressful things. And I'll tell you guys, this financial affidavit, it just fucking sucks. It does. There is no way around it. It's an uncomfortable document because you've got to go through everything that comes in and everything that goes out. A word of advice here. This is not the place to feel shame or embarrassment at how much you spend on your highlights, on your Botox, on, you know, your men's club or whatever it is that you're spending on yourself a month. You need to tell the truth because this all gets factored in to what your standard of living was while you were married and what it's going to cost for you moving forward. So you got to be as accurate as possible. You got to take your time. You got to take it page by page and really think, what exactly are the kids doing? How much are these extracurriculars costing? All that stuff. I've talked about this before and I won't be ashamed to say it again. I rushed through that document like my shoes were on fire. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. I filled it out like I was taking my SATs, which I didn't want to do and had zero interest in because I went to like acting and comedy school, which is another story for another podcast. But like, I just made up stuff. Not a good idea. Don't do that. Take your time. Take a breath. You got to get through it. So while you're going through all of this, what do you do to keep yourself from pulling out your hair extensions that you just paid thousands of dollars for?
Yeah, you know, wouldn't want those to fall out. Those are expensive. So yeah, you know, we talk about this on other podcasts too. We love walking. We think walking is a great way to kind of tone down the tensions and your anxiety around this process. So if you're ever having one of those days where you're just feeling like, one, your brain isn't working, because that happens, you know, when you have complete anxiety and stress, especially related to the divorce process, there are days that your brain is not firing right.
Yep.
Those are not the days that you should be filling out your financial affidavit. And it's quite all right that you maybe take a break. And those are the days that you're going to hopefully go out, take a walk, get together with a friend, that kind of thing. Lean on someone for a little bit of support. Listen to one of our podcasts.
Yep.
Because we're your divorce besties. And hopefully we'll give you at least a little bit of laughter during the podcast.
But when you
and
feel
let
that,
you know,
yeah.
You got this.
Right.
No, and let you know you've got this.
And when you feel that twinge inside of you of like, I can't do this right now. Stop.
Yeah.
Yep. Listen to yourself. Stop. You might even want to bring someone in to help you do this financial affidavit. Let's talk about that for a second, Morgan. Who is the right person to come in? I mean, we've talked to different experts on our show. I know that people can pay a financial advisor, which could be good. It could make things more messy. I think it depends on what's at stake. Some attorneys will go through it with you, but obviously you're paying for that time. What do you think?
So unless you're just absolutely struggling, and sometimes I, you know, in a lot of my really large cases where the person either is completely in the dark on the financials or they've never, ever had to write a check or pay a bill in their life, or the financials are huge. Usually I don't hire somebody to do it because it's expensive and it's time consuming. So know this, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed trying to start this thing, that's normal. That is so normal. But for the most part, you will get through it. You can do it. if you're feeling to the point where you just cannot get it together, talk to your lawyer about what options they have for you. Some lawyers will sit down, like Andrew said, and help you through it. Sometimes they have paralegals that are just assigned to work through this. Other times you may want to hire an expert to actually do it for you. So those are options that you have depending on where you're at.
Would you ever suggest, like, let's say your uncle Max is great with numbers and you trust Max. Would you ever invite Uncle Max to come over and help you through this? Or is that like a...
So I would say it would be fine if Uncle Max helped you understand, but ultimately you wrote down the numbers with the backup. Uncle Max should not be filling it out for you, because at some point in the future, you may be questioned on where did this number come from? And you want to be truthful in everything you do and say in your divorce case. And you don't want to say, well, Uncle Max, this is Uncle Max's number. So that's a good way to lose credibility pretty fast.
That's a very good point. What if Uncle Max or your friend Betsy, who's an accountant or whatever, is literally sitting right next to you? Your fingers are on the keyboard, but they're sitting right next to you and they're kind of offering you mental support, emotional support, and just there to assist you. Is that allowed?
Yeah. You mean filling out the financial affidavit?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so, if you feel comfortable with it. I mean, you're talking about really confidential financial information.
Right.
So not everyone is comfortable doing that with, you know, their friend Betsy. So if that's something you need, that's fine. But usually what people do is they pull out their, you know, credit card statements and their bank statements, and they kind of go through and add up different, you know, costs that go into each category. So as long as you're really doing that and you're taking the lead and can honestly say that you came up with that number, any support is welcome.
And don't be embarrassed to tell your attorney what you don't know, because you only know what you know. So if you are realizing, oh my God, there might be other accounts that I'm not aware of, or I don't know this stuff, it's okay. Just communicate to your attorney what you know and what you don't know, because in the next months or two of this divorce process, there's going to be time for your attorney to get some information from your spouse, you know, as far as like what they disclosed. And that could also help you through some of this. So it's really not as overwhelming as I made it out to be when I went through it. I'll tell you, you know, it's one of the reasons why we do this show. I operated from such an emotional place and I didn't have the right support, that I made so many mistakes. So take breaks and ask questions. You mentioned before, Morgan, that people can go for a walk or go, you know, meet a friend. And I just want to clarify, my advice is meet a friend, not a gaggle of girls. It's not the time for the gaggle. I just think that the more people who get involved in this and know your stuff and what you're going through, you're going to get so many freaking opinions. And these opinions are probably going to be wrong.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like when, you know, you were younger and you're thinking to yourself, should I break up with her? Should I break up with him? You know, in high school, and you ask all of your friends and everyone got a different opinion. And then by the time that you're like, well, no, I'm not going to break up with him, I'm going to stay with him. And now everyone's pissed, right? Because they put all this time in investing in it and everyone wants their opinion done the way that they want it. And now you've made your decision. So you don't need all the cooks in the kitchen. The real cook is your lawyer and you running the show, and get a confidant or two and call it a day.
You know, it's like when you went out, if you're listening to the show and you're a woman, when you went out and bought your wedding dress and all these people were sitting there watching you try on all these dresses, didn't it get overwhelming at a certain point when all these people like, no, I like that one, but I like the first one on you. And what about this cut? Da, 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 da. I mean, that kind of stuff makes me just want to scream. It's like, I want one person, maybe two people. Let's talk this through. Like, and also, you're not necessarily going to these people for advice. Your friends are not there to guide you along on your divorce process. They're there to love you, to support you, and to distract you. You go to your therapist for more. You go to your divorce attorney. You go to professionals who know how to help you. Your friends love you, but they don't know how to help you. This isn't what they do. And I don't care if they went through a divorce. That does not make them an expert on your marriage or on your divorce.
Yeah, I agree.
So, okay, now that we've totally depressed you, let's lighten the mood here. Well, okay, before we lighten the mood, we're not done depressing you. Let's recap some of these steps. So, number one, we know that there's different ways to get served. However you do get served, don't get caught up in that moment. If God forbid you are served at work, I'm sorry, that sucks. Not going to be the rest of your life. You got to take that moment and move on. If you receive a petition via email or, you know, whatever, and you're reading this document and like Morgan's former client feels like you're getting sued, or you're just reading this legal jargon thinking, what? That's okay. It's written that way. I think it's because, I don't know, legal people want to feel smarter than us and they want us to feel dumb. I'm not really sure what it is. I wish that it was written in English, but it's just not. I mean, what do you think that people can tell themselves in that moment, Morgan? It's like, it's okay, I don't get this.
Well, it's okay you don't get it, but also a lot of the stuff in there that's probably amping them up probably means very little on the overall distribution of the case.
That's a great.
Probably just on there, just to be on there.
And now let's recap for them, Morgan, what we want them to do as far as talking to attorneys and what they should be looking for.
Yes. Yeah, so when you're interviewing attorneys, obviously get a few recommendations. We are always here for good recommendations and referrals. We're happy to give those. So if you want someone from us, feel free to DM us or send us an email. We always get people to the right place. So number two, you're going to ask them what their strategy is. You're going to tell your story. You're going to ask what their strategy is. You're going to ask what their fees are, and you're going to get a feel for them. I always think if you can go in person and meet them, that is way better than Zoom. Maybe you want to see the office. You want to get a feel for the employees in the office. Every place you go and everyone you meet, you will have a different feel about. And like Andrea said, when you walk out, probably won't remember everything you talked about. Maybe you remember 10%, but when you get in the car or shut off the Zoom, take a few notes about maybe some things you liked, maybe some takeaways, maybe something you didn't like or a question that you can take to the next attorney.
Gut feeling. What did your gut is usually not wrong. What did your gut say? Is it?
I love that.
Is it a yummy feeling? Is it a yucky feeling? And why? And you are looking for a strategy from these people. And please, if you have been served, then you're going to know who's representing your spouse. You got to give your attorney that information because it's very, very important that the person you hire has a very good working relationship with whom your spouse is using. It's okay to ask them that, and it's okay to reflect on what their response was. A good attorney is also not going to lie to you and say that they work really well with somebody if they don't.
Yep, I agree. I agree with that completely.
And then last, when you're doing this financial affidavit, which is one of the very first things that will happen in this first month of your divorce process, don't pull out your hair extensions, take breaks, go for a walk, talk to one friend. Woo! And then talk to Uncle Max if you feel like it. Uncle Max is there. Or Betsy. They're great people. Can't get enough of them. Love them. All right. Are you ready for some crazy stories, Morgan?
Oh, we're doing this. Okay. I want to hear it.
So I was doing some research on the interwebs about this episode because I thought, oh my God, this just like sucks. You know, giving people this information like, well, first it's just going to happen. Then you got to do this and you got to do that. I'm like, they're just going to cry. And I don't want people to cry. So we want to leave you with some ridiculous things that help you feel a little bit better about your lives. So I'm going to read you things that I found on the internet. This story says, this couple was breaking up. And the mister left the house. The missus went to work the next morning as usual. And when she returned home in the evening, she found that mister had been to the house and removed his clothing and belongings as she expected. But what she didn't expect is that he also had gorilla glued all of her belongings together. This guy glued the TV remote to the table, He glued the phone to its cradle. He glued the couch pillows to the couch and glued the vacuum cleaner to the carpet. She called the police, reported this property damage. The police went through the house documenting dozens of items that had been glued to various things. But like for days later, she was discovering random things in her house that he had glued that she was just now finding. Oven mitts were glued to the wall. In fact, according to the police report, she claimed, "My goddamn oven mitts were glued to the wall," or he glued the sheets together in the linen closet. This is like an oldie but a goodie story. We've told this one before because it's just so good.
This is, I mean, Mr. was busy.
Mr. I also love that in the story they refer to them as Mrs. and Mr.
I love it.
I love it.
Mr. was busy. I mean, he must have gone through a few things of Gorilla Glue to get all that.
Because those little tubes are tiny.
Yeah. And where was Mrs. for all this time?
She was at work. She was at work. But I also wonder, like, how did he not get it on his hands? Because that stuff, it's like a little dab will do ya, but it's messy. It's really
Mrs. is there providing for the family and husband's busy. Or no, Mr.'s busy gluing the house together.
I mean, come on. Okay, I've got...
You know what? Yeah. Thank God. Hold on. But thank God for videos these days, because things like this do happen in cases. And I'm sad to say some of my cases, things have happened. And if it weren't for video evidence, the judge would have no idea what we're talking about. No idea. So at least now, hopefully back in Mr. and Mrs. time, they also had video evidence.
Yeah. So when you're thinking of going out and getting revenge, think twice, guys, because it ain't going to go in your favor. Okay. Here's one last one that I thought was really funny. So this story comes from somebody who worked as an interpreter, who frequently worked with police and lawyers, and was one time in court and overheard this. So this is a conversation between the judge and this woman, okay? So the judge says, "All right, Ms. So-and-so, you and I have known each other for quite a long time, right?" She says, "Yes." Judge says, "As a matter of fact, we've known each other for 5 years, correct?" "Yes." "And at the end of each and every meeting we've had over the past 5 years, we have always agreed on one thing, correct?" "Yes." "Please tell me what we agreed on." "That it's not okay to break into my ex's apartment and lick all of his cutlery." And then the judge says, "Yet here we are, Mrs. So-and-so."
You know what? I have had these admonishments in court. Generally, hopefully not with my clients, because I don't usually put up with this. But those ones are so hard as a lawyer to sit there with a straight face, because the judge is like, "We have talked about this. It is not okay for you to have your night vision goggles on in the back of your ex's house, okay?" And they're like looking at him like the judge, like they have four eyes. And, you know, as a lawyer, I'm trying to keep the best poker face. But some of these stories, you just, you know, you have to step back, listeners, and just say, "Okay, my divorce isn't this bad."
These are two very nimble people we're talking about here. We're talking about a guy, Mister, who was able to gorilla glue his entire home together without getting any on his fingers. And then we're talking about a woman who has the talent of being able to lick cutlery without like hurting herself. And imagine she wasn't like licking like steak knives and things like that. And also, I just think like, what a funny thing to go do. I mean, I applaud the creativity, right? Like, we've all heard of like throwing his clothes out or burning the house down, but like licking utensils, I think is just, I don't know, it's something very special. I enjoy that story. If I were to get back at someone, I feel like licking cutlery is the way to go. But you know,
that one is extra. So I can't even get mad at her for that. So
I mean,
all right, everybody. If you have made it through this show, thank you. Just know that we're here for you. This is why we do this show every week. We know that divorce sucks, but you don't have to suck at doing it. That is why we do this. And what we ask in response is, please, if you like us, if you like the show, even if you don't like us, but you like the show and the information, please leave us a rating and review online. It means the world to us.
Unless you didn't like the show, and then keep that to yourself, because that's not going to help anybody. You're already going through a lot, so I'm sure you wouldn't waste your time doing that. Guys, we have private communities for you to join. Direct links are in the show notes for those. We want to support you in each and every way that we can. We're here for you on the good days. We're here for you on the bad days. If you know someone who is going through this exact process right now, send them this episode. What a way to be a friend. What a way to help someone. We would love it. We appreciate it. We love you and appreciate every single one of you.
Remember, divorce is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Some days are going to be good and some days are going to be horrible. That's okay. Lean on us, your divorce best friends, when you have those horrible days, and know that you will get through this.
You've got this, my friends.
And we have got you.
See you next week.